right. Hey, everyone. This is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9. Actually, those O's should be zeros because O is a letter and zero is the number. So we're good, though. And coming at you live here. And if you're listening, that is right now, which would be around 2 o'clock Mountain Time on November 5th, I think it is. Yeah. So, and coming at you, of course, streaming live from the center of the universe. That's Clear Creek County, Colorado. And nice little rainy, cool day up here, which is a great omen for what's to come. As soon as it gets about 10 degrees, a little bit cooler, and we're going to have some nice white stuff out there so we can start skiing, hitting those bumps and doing some carving and all that other fun stuff there. So, and this is the Rabbit Hole. And today, in the first hour, I have a really wonderful special friend here who's going to be talking all about cooking. That's Barb Stafford. Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I am fine, Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. You know, so any rate, yeah, welcome. How was the drive up?
Oh, the drive was wonderful. It's Saturday. There was no traffic, no ski traffic yet, but we are looking forward to ski season too. So let's bring on the white stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all over that there, you know, so sweet. Okay. And sponsors. Hey, guess who's sponsoring this hour? I am. All right. So, Jerry Fabianic. You can find out more about my work if you go to my website, jerryfabianic.com. So I am blessed and honored that I not only can be here, but to get to sponsor this hour. But I want to thank all our other sponsors, especially Tommy Knockers and the others in town. Tommy Knockers brought us that last hour. So thanks, Tommy Knockers. Great community contributors. And, if it weren't for our sponsors, we would not have community radio like this and have, wonderful programming like this as well. This show is being recorded, and I'll have it uploaded to our website in, probably by Monday or so. And we'll go from there. So, at any rate, so with me, Barbara Stafford was born in New Jersey, and she's the middle child of three. Her father joined the Army, which meant she was moving around quite a bit. You know, three schools, elementary, high schools, ended up in California, a wonderful place, and graduated from Palm Springs High School, and then finally University of California at Irvine. With a degree in psychology. I'm going to need to come back to you on that one. Yeah, that's great. Barbara went on to earn not only that, a dental hygiene degree, and has been working as a dental hygienist for 33 years. She lived in Wisconsin for 28 until her two kids graduated and moved here to Colorado. And in that time, though, she found herself entertaining a lot during her first marriage and honed her entertaining skills so she could enjoy the parties too. But after 25 years of marriage, she found herself, quote, between husbands. And that is what brought her to Colorado, which is her favorite place on earth. Is that right, Barbara?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Me too. We'll have to share stories on that. But Barbara has a son and a daughter and a stepson and daughter and stepdaughter and a golden retriever and a Samoyed. Did I say that right?
I think you actually did. We usually say Samoyed, but I think the proper pronunciation is Samoyed.
Samoyed, yeah.
You're the English teacher. I think you know.
Well, you're the dog here, so I have a chocolate lab there, so I get that one there. Yeah, so fun. And that's her family, of course. Her new book will be released next week, so sometime during the week of November 12th that week there. And she'll be flying to California to begin promoting it. She'll be in Indian Wells at Kitchen Kitchen's 37th anniversary celebration. She'll be offering biscotti samples from her new book and doing a cooking demo of an appetizer. And unfortunately, we're not doing a cookie sample here in the studio because I'd have half the town over here. Her new cookbook is Cooking 101, literally, with 101 recipes and 101 photos. Her husband, John, who's joining us in the studio here, is the photographer. And insisted we have a photo for each one. There's probably ulterior motives here, but I'm just saying here. And she accused him of just wanting her to cook each recipe for him. And when she got up to 95 recipes, her son says, no, you have to hit 101. Barbara, I'm like, why 101? Is it Cooking 101, 101 Dalmatians?
That's exactly what he told me. He said, Mom, that'll be a great marketing line. It's 101. It's just such a tricky catchy number. So you've got to hit it. And I said, Scott, you're killing me. And the tricky part for my graphic artist was I limited him to 200 pages. So we have 101 recipes and photos that we had to put on 200 pages. So this book is action-packed, has a lot of information and a lot of beautiful photos.
Wonderful. Oh, that sounds awesome there. I can't wait for it to come out and take a look and do a taste test and everything. What got you into writing?
Into writing? I think I'm more of a cook and then an author, but I will give my husband all of the credit and all of the blame, depending on which way this all plays out. But he saw, after many years of entertaining, throwing dinner parties, friends asking me for my recipes and my menus, and sometimes even asking me to cater a dinner party in their own home. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, for the record, I'm not a caterer. So once he said, your friends are asking for all these things, you ought to just start writing cookbooks. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, come on, really? I can do it. Anybody can do it. And he goes, well, clearly you have something they want. So I started writing cookbooks.
Okay.
The first one was complete dinner party menus for busy people who like to cook with grocery lists. So it's a big time saver.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of every chapter, you can even access the grocery list with your phone scanning the QR code at the end.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's a big time saver. The book that will be out next week is Small Plates and Dainty Desserts. And that just offers a wide variety of colors, textures, and flavors for somebody who really likes the tapas dinner party idea. Lots of variety there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got something for everybody.
Oh, wonderful.
It's truly eclectic.
Now, I love the line. Let you deliver about your mother and the advice she gave you.
Okay, when my sister and I were quite young, my sister, who's older, decided she and I would learn to cook. So we went to Mom. And we asked her if she would teach us how to cook. Well, for a little background here, we grew up with TV dinners, hamburger helpers, very simple, simple dinners. My mom had three small children and was overwhelmed just by us. So dinner was not a big priority. So when we wanted her to teach us, her line back to us was very clever. She said, if you can read, you can cook. Uh-huh. So my sister walked away saying, well, that's easy, okay. I walked away thinking to myself, well, that makes it perfectly clear. Mom can't read. And so for many, many years, I honestly thought she couldn't read and felt sorry for her. So I covered. I never said anything. And then one day in high school, I saw her reading a book. She was taking a class. And I thought, oh, yeah, come on, Mom, really? What does it say? And she told me. And then it came out that I honestly thought she couldn't read for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
So to this day, we know she can read. She's 83. Her favorite thing to make is reservations.
Oh. at the local restaurants and
yes,
so forth, I assume.
Yes, dinner reservations, yes.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful.
Her oven is used for storage.
Okay. And so her whole point, though, is get a cookbook and teach yourself and all these.
So that's what we did. It took away the mystery of cooking. And I thought, well, you're right. If we can read, we can cook, we can figure it out. And cooking has never been a scary task for me, so when I see other people who are afraid to throw dinner parties, try new recipes, I just look at them and think, come on, you can do it, I can do it. It's not hard. Just read and figure it out.
Now, because I'm a kind of a bumbler when I get into the kitchen. I love to get in there and try. I have a good friend who's very strictly the recipe's the recipe, and you follow it. Tend to get eclectic. I will say, for example, when I cook up a big pot of chili, it never is exactly the same. They always vary. How do you approach it?
I try new recipes all the time. I usually try to go by the recipe verbatim the first time with post-it notes handy to take notes about how I'm going to change it up the next time. Because I never make the same recipe exactly the same, the same recipe twice. So I will make it the way it's supposed to be and then decide whether I like it or not and then make my personal changes like you do.
Okay. And then kind of adjust it. Do you go like intuitively, this seems right? Or is there a sense about you, do you think, that there are certain spices, whatever, might blend more harmoniously?
Oh, absolutely. Perhaps? Absolutely.
Okay.
I definitely have a wide collection of spices in my entourage, and I definitely like to think, oh, well, I've got cinnamon here. Maybe we'll throw in a little allspice, and maybe to jazz it up, we'll throw in a little cayenne pepper just to change it a little bit. So mm-hmm. I try to see what goes with what mm-hmm. by experimenting, and I encourage everybody to do that.
Okay, and kind of go with that. What is your favorite? What do you tend to focus on, like a main course, entree, or desserts, or you like to kind of mix it and do it all?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
That's not a good answer.
It can be.
Some days I may be more in the mood for roasted vegetables. Some days I may be on a kick for straight appetizers of many just colors, textures, and flavors. That's my main thing. I like a lot of variety. I like healthier things, but then there may be the time when I am just on a kick for chocolate, and we've got to come up with some great chocolate recipes.
Mm-hmm.
But when I throw a dinner party, I like to offer healthy food, chocolates, because that's just required. And then that way people have whatever their preferences are, they can pick and choose and enjoy something, no matter what I've made. If you're vegetarian and I'm serving beef tenderloin, there will still be plenty of other things for you to enjoy.
Okay. And, it seems to me, and I'm not really an entertainer or anything of that nature, but I'm just kind of intrigued by this because I've gone to some place about that whole concept of a dinner party
mm-hmm.
and the art of it is that you just don't invite somebody over and say, okay, we're going to have spaghetti. Yeah, there's so much more involved with that,
mm-hmm.
I would assume.
First of all, I like to plan the dinner party and choose the right people. I like to choose people that I think will have a good conversation together, because nothing's more fun to me than having fun people, enjoying good wine, good food, and just having a lot of laughs over a dinner at home. And we're not being rushed out of a restaurant because they need to turn the table over. Then when we throw a party, I'm creating the stage. I'm creating the ambiance. I'm setting the table, cutting the flowers, lighting the candles. It's not just the menu, although the menu is a huge part of this, of course. And I try to get people to move around. So we might start in the kitchen with drinks and appetizers and then move into the living room and then move into the dining room or maybe the backyard if we're doing this at home. And like I said, I like to have quite a variety of things, although I do try to keep a mental note of which of our friends are picky eaters, who doesn't like cilantro, who doesn't like cucumbers, who's vegetarian, gluten-free, on and on and on. And that way I just happen to put together a menu that everybody will enjoy and it's not uncomfortable or awkward for anybody.
Okay, and the menu itself doesn't necessarily have to be very complex.
No, it doesn't have to be. It's about the people, and the food just is there for people to enjoy. So it doesn't have to be complicated. All my recipes, I love it when I go to book signings and people look at the menus and recipes and they say, oh, well, there aren't that many ingredients in each recipe. And I actually recognize what they are.
Yeah.
I don't have to Google these. And so the food turns out looking amazing and it's not as complicated as people might think. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. I love the term to use before about the ambiance and so forth. And what it brought to mind to me, this whole description here in ancient Greece with Epicurus. And an Epicurean feast doesn't have to be grandiose and, the goose or whatever, that you're cooking to perfection. It could be a very simple meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that come in and engage in conversation on whatever the topic might be or the focus might be, if there is anything of that nature.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And if you don't have time to make, say you pick up my first cookbook and you choose a menu and you don't have time to make the two appetizers, sides, main dish, and desserts, have your family over, have your friends over, and give everybody one recipe. Mm-hmm. They've got it right there, the recipe and the grocery list, and it makes it really easy. And we had some friends of three generations, family members, all get together one time and do that and photograph it, and it was fabulous. They loved it.
And do you approach like a dinner party or a gathering like thematically at all?
It possibly, depending on the time of year, depending on if it's the holiday season, if it's a football season, that could happen. And then I might go with certain colors. If we're doing a Bronco party, we certainly would use Bronco colors. So sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
Okay. Oh, that sounds fascinating because, we're getting into the holiday season here. And so let's draw on right now Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
What might be, you know, tradition is turkey. Mm-hmm. Do you always go with turkey? Do you mix it? You know, what do you do?
There was one year, a few years back, we decided we didn't want to go with turkey, and we actually did a prime rib. Mm-hmm. And that was wonderful. So I think the rules are whatever you want them to be. Mm-hmm. So we had beef that year. But traditionally, we do go with turkey stuffing. I'm not a big mashed potato and gravy fan, so we quite often don't do that. I love homemade cranberry sauce. I love squash. I've got an apple-topped acorn squash recipe in the new cookbook coming out.
Okay.
Oh, we've got a really good nutty pumpkin pie recipe in the first cookbook.
I was ready to ask you about pumpkin pie because it is one of my favorite. Oh, my gosh. So tell me. Talk more.
Okay. So the pumpkin pie recipe has rum. It has crystallized ginger in it. It has nuts. And it has a lot of texture. I'm not a fan of traditional pumpkin pie because I like texture. This gives you a little crunch and extra flavor, and the surprise of the rum just puts it over the top.
And what's the, you said the, and John's over here giving thumbs up, going like, yeah, baby, I'm all over this
that's,
here.
That's one of his favorites.
And what was this, crystalline what?
Crystallized ginger.
Ginger.
Yes.
How do you do that? What is that?
You buy it at the spice store. Literally, you buy it, it's been crystallized, and it looks like little chunks of sugar. But it's actually ginger.
Okay.
And it's in a jar.
Okay.
So I can't take credit for doing that.
Okay. So it's not like something you put in a saucepan or anything of that nature. But so easily gotten.
There's a shortcut. Just buy it.
Okay. Oh, my God. So I'm all excited about that now. Okay.
So that's a fun one. That's a really fun one.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, sometimes you stay within tradition, sometimes step out of it.
Absolutely. There are no rules. Don't assume rules.
Mm-hmm. And when you have a dinner party, do you ask people to bring side dishes or do you like to plan it out?
That's such a funny thing. I like to plan it out, especially when I lived in Wisconsin. I was introduced to the idea of potlucks. And I think people entertain more if they have a potluck because it's less work on them, and then it's a variety, and it turns out to be a potluck. Most of the time it works out okay. But I really like to just be in charge of the whole menu and hoping maybe somebody will reciprocate and have me over and I'll enjoy their menu someday. But I just like to figure out what goes with what.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get the joy, the thrill out of this here. Not only planning, it seems, but then the reward for that, people coming and enjoying your hospitality. None of, mm-hmm. But it seems, but each other's company.
Absolutely. And if they really want to bring something, we never say no to a bottle of wine. So that's always good. And I've been told in the past, well, we shouldn't entertain because nobody else does that. Let's just take so-and-so out to dinner. And I said, well, that's exactly why we should do it, because they're not expecting it. And you open up your home, you bring people in, you show that warmth and hospitality and that extra effort. People remember that.
Hmm, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way there, but you're right. It seems like something that's being lost in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that depersonalization, it's almost like instead of a letter, we send emails and text.
Absolutely.
So instead of hosting, having people over for dinner, I'll just meet you at the local restaurant, you know, even if you pick up the tab, you know, so what? That's irrelevant in that regard. It's that, but, you know, to have that within a home, there's a whole certain, like you were saying before, ambiance on that.
I love it. I really get a kick out of it. And I plan ahead. I don't want to be frazzled the night of the party. My husband will tell you that we first come up with a guest list, and then we start talking about the food. And this may be 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time.
Okay.
And then I make a grocery list and figure out what I can buy ahead of time and prepare ahead of time. And what do I need to do the day of? And when do I clean the house and cut the flowers? And then, the fun part, I always post in my kitchen the menu of the evening for two reasons. My guests like to come in and browse and see what the menu is going to be. And it also helps me remember to serve everything. And I might make a note, oh, we'll put this in at 350 for 15 minutes. I remember one Thanksgiving before I started this menu idea, I totally forgot the sweet potatoes and found them the next morning in the oven. So I thought, that was a waste. This is never happening again. I need my cheat sheet in the kitchen so I can enjoy my friends and family and have conversations and not forget some of the menu that I've worked so hard on.
yeah. No, that's fabulous. I like that. As we're talking here, Barbara, is that initially when we decided we were going to go on, and talk about your work here, your cookbook and everything, mm-hmm. and of course we are still talking about specifics of cooking,
mm-hmm.
okay, recipes and what goes with what and everything, but it seems that there's a larger element to this whole process here, and I'll go back to Epicurus about bringing people together, because that is something that is such a cultural thing, and that when we share a meal,
mm-hmm.
That there's something there that bonds people, and we could disagree on topics, but that's okay. We can have conversations about some stuff too, it seems.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And when you said, like, when you plan a guest list,
mm-hmm.
talk more about that. What can, you're thinking, well, so-and-so might be a jerk and I don't want to have these two people in the same room together, or sometimes maybe I do want to have them come in because we want some fireworks. What goes through your mind when you're starting to come up with a list?
Oh, I think about what the different people are interested in. We don't tend to talk politics, so we don't go there about trying to, keep people away from each other for that reason, but try to think of what interests they have, what jobs they do, and where the conversation might lead. Like, is somebody in computers? Are they in healthcare? Are they in oil and gas? Are they entrepreneurs? And these people may have never met. It's actually more interesting when they haven't, because then the conversation really gets going when they're trying to find out more about each other. Do they have children? Do they have dogs? Things that we mm-hmm. are also interested in. So
yeah,
that's part of how we plan it all out.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because I think of different types of people, personalities, and people think, that I am an extrovert. And I say, I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that proverbial wallflower, and I walk into a crowd of people I don't know. I go right to the back or the corner or, grab a drink or whatever and step aside. But once I get engaged with people, then I'm like, we're talking now, I feel very comfortable. So that would be an interesting dynamic too, about different types of personalities that come in.
That reminds me of a dinner party we had a few years ago, and we had 8 introverts at the table. And the two of us are not that extroverted. We were able to guide the conversation and ask questions and get people to talk, but these people were all introverts. The funny thing was, everyone spoke about the same amount, because I think we were all on a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that one person who stole the moment and was the life of the party, and it was a really interesting evening.
Wow. Yeah, I guess there's so many different dynamics come into play, especially when you have a wide variety of acquaintances, people in your life, and not just immediate friends that you would have and you've known them for how many years.
Mm-hmm.
But do you ever invite people you don't know, or someone knows someone, you just bring them along? Because you know that maybe they're in a different industry that you might be in. You mentioned, for example, oil and gas. Mm-hmm. That might be interesting. Do you ever do that, or do you always have, who's coming in your front door?
Oh, no. Sometimes we invite, I won't say complete strangers over, but we've had people over that we don't know very well. Like, a funny thing happened, somewhere in the last year, my husband ran into somebody on a plane. And I'm not Chatty Cathy when I'm on a plane, but my husband is. He started talking to this woman. Well, lo and behold, she was the daughter of his high school chemistry teacher in Syracuse.
Oh, wow.
A couple of years ago. And mm-hmm. we had her for dinner. He hardly knew her. I didn't know her at all. And then she brought a date. And then we had other family members for dinner that evening that enjoyed meeting her. So that was a really fun, interesting evening.
Yeah, I can imagine. Have you ever had any that, though, kind of blew up in your face, didn't work out so well? You thought this might be a good one, or this person here, and it was like, oh my God, worse than leaving the sweet potatoes in the oven overnight.
nothing. Were there any real fireworks? Mm-hmm. Maybe where the blending of people wasn't ideal, and you're watching the clock all evening wondering when people are going to leave. But that would be about the worst, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if so we're talking here. If I want, and I want to get back to the cooking also, because I had, I'll do that in a minute, because I, with my skill level, I'll put it that way. But I'm intrigued with this whole notion of entertaining now, and to bring people together for an event, an occasion, just to share each other's company. For whatever reason, and it doesn't have to be situated around the holiday, Thanksgiving or 4th of July or whatever. It could be the third Saturday in September, for gosh sakes, that sort of thing there. What do you suggest, that, to encourage people? Like, my first thing has happened, like, oh my God, I feel daunted by the prospect of doing this whole thing. What would you encourage people, suggest, work with them on? To move them there.
I'd say find some recipes that you are comfortable making already. It's not a good time to start making things that you're not familiar with and finding out that they really don't work or that you don't like them. So I would just say start, stay in your comfort zone and then branch out from there. Maybe try one new thing, but if you're planning a big gathering, it's okay to make things that you've made before. And one of the reasons, back to my menu that I like to post in the kitchen, I actually, I'm kind of funny this way, I like to keep a file, and then I put on there who was invited for dinner that night and the date, because in a year, if I have those same people for dinner, or they've come to town, I want to go back and make sure I don't make the same thing for them again.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
And then once you find a dinner that works... you can easily pull it out and use it on somebody else. So why reinvent the wheel, right? So you may be nervous in the beginning with the entertaining, but I think once you have more experience, you get better at it, and you start taking notes, you'll nail it and you'll have fun.
Wonderful. I'm going to do a quick station identification here. Hey, everyone, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on the air here in Idaho Springs, the center of the universe here, Clear Creek County. This is The Rabbit Hole, and the author's talk, writer's talk, I should say, segment of it. And with me is Barbara Stafford, who is a website, she does eclectic entertaining. So, I really don't have any PSAs, and other than that, let you know I'm sponsoring the show, and you can find out more about my book at jerryfabianic.com. And so Barbara, let's what was I gonna wanted to go with? Because we were talking about different types of people and occasions and events and so forth. And, planning out a consistent menu. So if you, say, I want to start off with duck, which I would never do because I have no clue about it. And I love ducks. But let's say I'm going to start with that. Okay. Is there then a trajectory that the host should follow from that? So like, for example, for dessert, do you really want like lemon meringue pie with duck? You know, is there some certain guidelines that might feel where it's like, whatever.
I make up the rules as I go along. And if there are guidelines, I try to make sure I don't have too many heavy dishes, too many things that are full of butter from start to finish, because you leave the dinner table not feeling comfortable. So I would say try to keep things light and fresh, and maybe put in one thing that would be heavy. Maybe on that duck you have a really nice sauce. Well, that means you don't want to put a lot of sauce on all of your dishes and keep them really heavy and then serve that cheesecake at the end that's just going to weigh everybody down.
Okay.
Like one of my first menus, or the first menu in the first cookbook I love, and I tend to go to it quite often, is beef yakitori kebabs. And in this menu, I've got baba ganoush, which is eggplant dip, and then shrimp with ginger grilled pineapple for an appetizer. So we've got the people who like seafood, and then we've got a more of a vegetable dish. They're both very light. And then we move on to the main dish, the main meal, with couscous and chickpeas and spinach, the beef yakitori kebabs, orange pilaf. So that those three things go very nicely together without being overwhelmingly heavy. And then we top it off at the end with an apple puff pastry, which is really pretty and has great presentation. So that would be, that's one idea where I've tried to blend the flavors and the feelings, because the reason I came up with that idea about not having too many buttery, heavy dishes is we belong to a gourmet, we'll call it gourmet group back in Madison years ago, and everybody would be assigned a recipe, and we had to make whatever that host or hostess wanted us to make that evening. And I remember quite often leaving feeling uncomfortable, and I realized it's because of the way the foods were put together, and it wasn't the way I would entertain, the way I would prepare a menu.
And that's what, I think that's what you're getting at. Then the concern I would have is that what is that right balance,
right,
of the various dishes that you set out there, and you know, like the weight of them, if you will, is a key element of that. So you don't want something pretty, because you know, otherwise, not only the guests leave at the end and they're not quite sure why they seem to have had a good time, but it's like, I'm not quite comfortable. And you want them going out the door relishing the moment, it seems.
Absolutely. You want them to be full but not stuffed, and not uncomfortably stuffed. So I've put together in that first book complete menu. So somebody who's nervous about compiling a menu should feel very comfortable making any one of my menus that I've created.
So is that a different layout that I haven't looked at your book yet? But in terms, you know, traditionally, if you open up a cookbook, you know, here's desserts, here's entrees, here's, you know, you want potato dishes, and you went and you just picked it. But you're kind of guiding people through. If you want to have a dinner party, here is one menu from beginning to end.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. I've got 15 chapters and 15 menus, start to finish. So you go to a chapter, chapter one, beef yakitori kebabs, that kind of thing, all the way through. And then we've got vegetarian lasagna in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of variety. We have pork, beef, chicken, seafood. So something for everybody.
Oh, wonderful.
And the people who ask me if there's vegetarian, yes, there is vegetarian. Oh, are some of the recipes gluten-free? No, they aren't specifically, but it's easy enough to make those adjustments, especially if you are on a restricted diet. You're pretty good at knowing how to make it gluten-free.
And is that a consideration then when you are preparing food? You know, we don't know who everyone is in terms of, you know, whether they're gluten, what's the word I'm looking for?
Celiac?
Or, you know, just have adverse reactions to certain foods. You know, I cannot eat certain things, that sort of, you know, and gluten would be one. To plan that, because we don't know what individuals, who the individual might be that might have an allergy or something of that, like have a reaction to certain foods.
I usually, if I have somebody for dinner the first time, I like to find out ahead of time if there are any food likes, dislikes, or allergies, and then sensitivities. And that way, if I find out, it's like, oh, great, because I really wanted to make something with tomatoes, but this person can't stand tomatoes. Whew, there goes the Caprese salad, right? I do try to ask that ahead of time, and I learned that the hard way. Most things I've learned the hard way, it seems. Putting out a beautiful beef tenderloin only to find out the person I was serving it to was vegetarian. So that happened a couple of times, and then I learned real fast that, like, okay. We don't need that to happen again. There are plenty of other things I can make.
And I would think that if you have someone coming the first time, to literally ask them, and they don't, in other words, don't be afraid to ask them, and they would appreciate the fact and say, well, thank you for asking, because these are certain things I can't eat or won't eat.
And you, okay. They do appreciate that. They're very thankful, and then that way they know they can eat something, eat everything that I have. We have a friend who's, we entertained on the boat this summer, who has celiac, and so she isn't choosing to be gluten-free. She has to be. So she knew that I knew that, and so she said she was so excited to come for dinner because she knew that every single thing I served would be okay for her to eat, and it was really a nice feeling.
That makes sense. You know, like you say, she was excited to come, because I would imagine that people who do have an allergy, or, you know, would have a reaction to certain foods, or apprehensive about going, like, okay, I'm going to go, but am I going to be able to eat there, or can I eat everything, and how do I do this diplomatically, rather than just being upfront right from the beginning?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And some people are shy about it, so I think it's up to the host or hostess to ask ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they really do appreciate it.
So. Huge consideration right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, and I feel, you know, like when I go back to the actual cooking process there, have you ever done anything, because I do this, you know, almost just start from scratch and just don't have any guidelines, and you say, okay, I'm going to make a pot of chili or whatever it is, or I'm going to have his beef tenderloin, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it my way and see how it comes out.
That sounds like dinner at our house most nights. I open the refrigerator. I say, well, John, what do we have in the fridge? I'll go, well, I don't know. And I mean, it's so funny. He might look in there and see nothing. I look in there and see opportunity. And yeah. I just see, oh, wow, I've got these sauces we can use. And I've got vegetables. And I've got this and that. And next thing you know, we put together something really interesting.
Yeah.
And may never see it the same thing again. But but that's how we tend to eat most nights.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to laugh. I tell the story at, I have a niece who's a fabulous cook, and she's one of those eclectic type who just, you know, try this, try that sort of thing, and went over, and they had made some hamburger or something, and used this, it was an Asian Thai sauce or something of that nature, and it gave a little bit of a tang to it. And I said, oh, this is really good. And she's, okay, yeah, you can pick this up. So I did, and, well, I thought I had gotten the right thing, and so when I started to dump, and boy, I tell you, I mean, you've been in the, it was like eating a green chili relleno on steroids. Steam was coming out. And she goes, no, you just went a little like this. And I won't throw food away if it's edible. And so I end up eating it, you know, the whole time. But learn a little lesson on that, too. I'm just glad I didn't have others over, you know, like, oh, they have these burgers. Or, well,
that sounds like some supposedly mild green chilies I bought just last week. And I put those over pasta and vegetables. And, oh, wow. Steam was coming out our ears. Mm-hmm. And like you, I can't throw food away. So the next day I just threw in more vegetables and more pasta and a little cheese, and we kind of toned down the chili part of it so we could still eat it.
Yeah. And speaking of that sort of thing, Barbara, is that, you know, to plan something, like when you're planning your menu, your meal, to stay strictly within a cuisine like Italian or Mexican or Thai or something like that. Do you do that?
Not very often. I remember once throwing a Mediterranean party, one time throwing an Italian party, but I don't tend to do that because I just am all over the place. And that's one reason I named both of my cookbooks Eclectic Entertaining, because I just can't be pinned down to one genre. I like them all. Mm-hmm. So I just like to pick and choose from all of the different ones and put together what I think will go well together and what people will enjoy.
Okay, I'm trying to imagine sauerkraut with lasagna. And it's not quite working, so I probably don't want to mix those two.
No, I am not sure sauerkraut goes with anything, but I'm not a sauerkraut fan. It's one of the few things I don't care for.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, and I'm Eastern European heritage, and oh, man, I could put sauerkraut almost on my Cheerios. I mean, I love it.
Go for it.
Yeah, really, totally.
Let me know how it is.
Yeah, you go, oh, bless you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good on that. No, that's entertaining. It's fascinating. Now, you do presentations. Now, I'm not talking catering, but, you know, you're going to be, I think you have an event coming up in Fort Collins, if I recall. So if my friend Marty Wilson is listening right now, hey, Marty, we were just talking about you. That was fun because Marty said, oh, I got to meet her. And it was on my Facebook page. And, you know, Barbara, you responded and said, guess what?
I'll be in Fort Collins. Come see me.
So let's talk about when you do presentations or book signings, what's that like? And where do you go? And, you know, people ask you questions and
Oh, quite often I do them in kitchen stores, but there's a home decor store up in Beaver Creek, Karen's, who carries my book. When we do book signings and samplings, I usually bring something that I've made from the cookbook. Quite often it'll be an appetizer or biscotti, something really nice. And if I'm somewhere like Fort Collins at the Cupboard, a beautiful gourmet kitchen store, they've got a working kitchen, so we can actually bake things in the oven, cook on the stove, have wonderful smells wafting through the store, and we give samples out, and people come back to the back of the store because that's where all the wonderful smells are coming from, the aromas. And we sell and sign books and let them enjoy something from the cookbook so they know right away what it should look like and taste like. And then I get people who quite often will say, well, this looks like too much work. I think I just need you to come cater for me. And I'm telling them, well, hey, that's really a lot of work for me. But What my real response to them is, well, that would be wonderful, but I'd only feed you for an evening. But if I sell you my cookbook, you will eat for a lifetime.
No, I'd need you to come over and cook from your cookbooks. Yeah, it's kind of like the fishing thing, you know, I can give you a fish or I can teach you to fish, right?
That's exactly right.
But I think, you know, what you're saying is because it's the preparation itself, the planning and everything too, that's a whole energy that when you start to, you know, I mean, you, like you say, a couple of weeks out, you're already planning your guest list and perhaps the menu, and then you get into that day. There's such an energy, I would imagine, that is just like pulsing inside of you. When this is happening.
It is, and it's fun. It really is fun, and we've done it enough times to know what works, and we just get our ducks in a row and move forward with it, and it is a lot of fun, and there is a lot of energy involved. On the way up here today, we were planning the guest list for the cookbook launch party that we're planning in a couple of weeks, so there's always something. And then we stopped at Bojo's for a wonderful pizza lunch and enjoyed their roasted vegetable salad and roasted vegetable pizza. And right away, the wheels are turning. I've got ideas about something to make when I go home later and how I should be preparing similar flavors and colors. And so I'm constantly thinking about food, thinking about entertaining, what goes with what, who goes with who, and just try to keep it fun and interesting.
That's an excellent point, Barbara, because when you said that, and I do the same, and I tell people that I've been reading since I was a boy, okay? And now that I've written a book and published it, when I read someone else's work, I'm not just reading the story or whatever. I'm looking at how that author put together the dialogue or the exchanges, the type of phraseology. I'm just looking at, you know, and sometimes overthink it there, but it's just like, oh, I hadn't thought, you know, this like new ideas. And, you know, same here, like you said, oh, I hadn't thought about this with that, you know, like on a pizza or maybe transfer that to another. Maybe you are making a lasagna and then you got the cheese and you have the roasted peppers or something. It's like, oh, this might be interesting. You know, like it. So it seems like it would give, you know, the individual more confidence. And it's like you start to be willing to experiment more. You know,
absolutely. That gourmet group I mentioned earlier, where in Wisconsin, where we would leave feeling very, very uncomfortable. One of the rules, it was funny, there were rules, no substitutions. Everybody had to go exactly by the menu. And that is so not how I cook because, I don't have walnuts. I'll find some other nut to put in there, or this cheese instead of that cheese. And to me, it makes it more interesting. And then that's almost like creating another whole recipe. Yeah. So why not substitute and change it up a little and maybe you'll come up with something better?
Yeah. It's the difference between eclectic and rigidity. It has
well
to
said.
Be. Right here. It has to be this way.
Exactly. You
know? Well, and because I think we lose sight as different people will have different tastes and taste the same exact thing differently simply because of their anatomy, their physiology.
Oh, my son could bite into a ghost pepper and not bat an eye, and I would probably go screaming out the door. It would be so hot. So it's just interesting how people do taste things differently.
Okay, so let's you mentioned your son, your husband's here. So I want to call this the guinea pig brigade. And they love it, you know. And yeah, John's nodding his head, going, "Yeah, baby, I like it." What do you do? Do you test some things out on them, or what's that like for you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, two of our four kids live in town, and when we have them over, we definitely will throw different. We'll make things and say, "Well, what do you think about this? We're considering it for the cookbook," and then we want their opinion about it. Well, oh, I like this, but add this to it or take this away. And then when my daughter's in town, I could make something, and I know I cannot put cilantro in it for her. I say, okay, we'll make it this way for everybody else and this way for Kristen. And they give lots of feedback, and it's very, very constructive and helpful. And so, and then my husband, no matter whether he likes it or not, he tells me to keep making it again to practice because he just wants me to keep making it for him. So I'm on to him.
It sounds like you two have a lot of fun together.
Oh, we do. We really do. You've got to laugh every day, and we have a wonderful time together, and we enjoy food together. So, but the kids have been great. They've been instrumental in helping us narrow down the recipes and taste, help taste them and give feedback and the cover design and just every step of the way they've been there with us.
And John did all your photography, you
Yes,
told
he
me?
Did. Yes, he did. He built this beautiful table. He was able to light it from underneath, light it from above, and it just, we've got some beautiful photos in the next book.
And so it goes beyond you personally then, you know, with your family, your husband, your children, and so forth. And it becomes like this culture within, this, and everybody's supportive of you. You're the main character, yet you got this incredible supporting cast at, who are relishing in the fact that you're using relish. I like all these food terms here, and you know, and it just seems to be like it's like taken on a life of its own for you then.
Well, it really has. I mean, when John mentioned years ago, starting writing cookbooks, I thought, oh, okay. And then when I finished writing, I thought, my work is over. The hard part's behind me. And little did I know, I didn't know what I didn't know. The hard part was ahead of me.
Yeah.
We needed to, publish it. We needed to print it. We needed to take photos. We needed to, then we had to start selling it and figuring that one out. So there's so much there. And it has taken a village / a family to make all this happen and keep helping me promote it and help encouraging me, help keeping me encouraged to move forward with it.
Yeah, and you know, and you and I are fortunate, you know, because you know, not even know each other, but through CIPA, you know, the Colorado Independent Publishers Association, because that's how we were able to move our work. You know, you're right. I put it in three levels. Moving a work out. The first part is, which takes a lot of time, is putting it together, writing it, whatever it is. But then to move it to that publishing level. You know, so you need a good editor, you know, the layout design, the cover design, all this stuff there that, you know, getting the Library of Congress number. Oh, my gosh, there's so much. But then after you're done with that and it's literally in print, now you have to sell it. Because you know how many other books, cookbooks are out there right now? I mean, hundreds, thousands of them. But yours is unique. How do you move that then to the, you know, so it resonates within an audience and, you know, start to move it there. That's a challenge.
There's a lot of competition out there. You're right. And then it's funny you brought up the Library of Congress number. And another thing we as authors had to figure out is I need a barcode on the back of my book. How do I get that? And different things like that. And you've got to go online and figure it out and make it happen. And so there's a lot of behind the scenes work that needs to be done.
Yeah, and so, and on that, because I talk to local people, you know, I've written my book now, and they're real good writers. I mean, they come up, you know, and they send me samples, and I go like, gosh, you know, and of course I'm encouraging them because I want them to, you know, produce their work. Sometimes they're little anecdotal stories or whatever. And so when we were talking last time on at our board meeting at CIPA about, you know, how can we make this, you know, get more inclusive, get more people involved? So I'm kind of working on a potential in Georgetown, probably in March, and we'll talk about this more at the board meeting, and to have a panel to literally come in and sit down with people and saying, okay, whatever your idea is, whether it's a cookbook or a work of fiction, or, you know, you work with animals in some way, and you would like to make a production, you know, produce a book, a quality. These are the things you can do, and you can do it. And if you look at it over, it could be overwhelming and daunting. Yet at the same time, if you just invest in that process, because you've done it, and I've done it, and here we are having these conversations that, I mean, I didn't even know who you were, and here we are having these fabulous conversations because we followed through with our dreams.
We did. And then I remember when my kids were young, I remember buying at the local, at the school book fairs, the books that had the awards. I liked those. I was always drawn to the books that had that little sticker on the top right corner. So once I produced my book and started marketing it and started getting into the groove, I thought, I'd really like to enter a contest and see if I could win an award. I thought that would be just really special. So I did enter the Evie Awards through CIPA. They've been a wonderful group to me, and did win for cover design and in the cooking category.
Nice.
2 years ago, so I'm excited next year to enter my second cookbook and see where that ends up. But I can say now I'm an award-winning author.
Exactly.
So I'm very proud of that.
Congratulations on that, too. And we got about 5 minutes left. Now, you know, another thing I just wanted to talk about, like you have some YouTubes out there and your website. So talk about where people could just go to the internet and find out what.
Oh, gosh, lots of things. My website is eclectic.com. Eclectic-entertaining, thank you, .com. Eclectic-entertaining.com. And you can find recipes. You can find out where I'm going to be with my upcoming events from now to the end of the holiday season. You can find my YouTube page on there. And I've got a lot of instructional YouTube cooking videos that are fun. And I have a lot of cooking tips in there as well as the recipes in the videos. Let's see what else. I've got the radio, another radio show that I was on up in Beaver Creek is on there. So I just encourage you to go on there and, oh, the most important thing, recipes. I've got a lot of over 100 recipes on my website, and I keep promoting the seasonal ones. Right now you'll see more Thanksgiving, Christmas ones at the bottom of the first page on the website. So I'd encourage you to touch base with the website every now and then and just check and see what I've done. My blog, I'm always posting blogging on that. I also blog often, if not daily, on Facebook, Eclectic Entertaining Cookbook on Facebook. I've got a Google Plus page, and I have an Instagram page. I've decided I don't tweet because I need to stop somewhere, so there will be no tweeting.
Yeah. Since we have a lot of that happening anymore, so we'll end there.
And that was another thing in the beginning when I thought writing the book was all the work, and then I was told, oh, now you have to do social media.
Yeah.
I thought, really? Wow, who's going to listen? I don't know what to do. I don't know how this works. And somehow you figure it out and start doing it, and next thing you know, you have 500 followers.
Yeah.
So it's there. It's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's wonderful there. And I can, so is that recipe for, what was that pumpkin pie with the crunchy nuts and everything?
Oh, that is not on the website. It is, it's in my first cookbook.
It's in the first cookbook.
Yes,
okay.
It's in the first cookbook.
All right. Okay, yeah, that sounds like, I mean, this is, I don't know, it's something about, once we get to this time of the year, pumpkin pie. So it'd be intriguing, to say the least, you know, to get that, you know. So, okay. And so once again, your website is eclectic
entertaining.com.
Okay. And so we can go there. And then from there, you could travel into all kinds of different universes, you know, in terms of YouTube and so forth like that. Okay. And there's a contact information for you on there as well.
Yes. And you can even buy cookbooks on there.
There you go.
Using PayPal.
There you go. And so you can, you know, stock your pantry with a book starting there first, you know, and then you can then invite us all over for dinner when you have that party.
Okay.
That'd be good. And then you're going to be at the Cupboard up in Fort Collins in 3 weeks.
The day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Any others locally? You're going to go out to California.
I'll be in California, yes, this Saturday, November 12th. And I will be at, oh gosh, let's see. I think I almost need to consult my own page. I've got about five different events coming up. And I'm drawing a blank right now on what.
But they're on the website.
They're on the website, and they're also on my Facebook page.
Nice.
So look under events, and you'll see all the places I will be. And I'm going to be booking a cooking class coming up soon. There's a chocolate festival coming up in Colorado Springs, December 3rd. I'll be doing a cooking demo down there and sampling chocolate. So I've got a lot of exciting things. So please, I encourage you to go to my website and look at all the events I keep putting in there.
Super nice. Okay. So, and Barbara, thank you for coming in. John, thanks for coming on up here. Just nod. He's nodding a lot there. So that's great stuff, too. And you look like you're very contented over there. You know, just like, yeah, it's all good. And no, it's awesome. So just keep in mind, we'll are recording this, and I'll have it on my website probably by Monday. Sometimes it takes a little longer. And then you can either link to it or you can, you know, move it over to your website as well.
Thank you.
And, and of course, for our listening audience, this show will be repeated on Monday at 2 o'clock. So if you only got part of it or you need to hear it again, or, you know, or whatever, 2 o'clock on Monday, we'll repeat it here on KYGT.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I'll see you in 2 weeks at the meeting.
Sounds
good. We'll be at SEPA there, too. So.
Okay, thank
you. All right, everyone. This is Jerry Fabiana, KYGT, LPFM 102.7, 103.9. And this has been The Rabbit Hole, Writer's Talk here with Barbara Stafford and Eclectic Entertaining. And I hope you were more than entertained and you were informed. And just all kinds of great ideas now. Okay, I want to get out there and start cooking up a storm, bringing all my best friends over, including me, of course. You know, that would be wonderful, too. So I'm available. And so I brought you this last hour here. And we're going to call it good for today. We're going to go with some background, some of our pre-recorded music. I will be back in a couple of weeks with two more authors then. In the meantime, let's be safe out there. It is raining, and so it makes it a little bit slick, and you know, a few more degrees cooler. Yeah, we got some good wet stuff to go sliding on. So, all right, baby, we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, take care. Enjoy. Bye now.